This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn was 432, up a quarter. May corn, 438, no change. July corn, 443 and a quarter, down three quarters. March soybeans were 1285 and a half, down two and a quarter. May soybeans, 1271, no change. July soybeans, 1256 and a half, no change. March wheat was 566, up two and a half. May wheat, 571 and three quarters, up two. July wheat, 576 and a half, up one and a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Tuesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Tuesday afternoon. Wheat posted gains on below freezing weather in the Midwest affecting the spring wheat crop, and corn in the nearby months found support in export sales. Soybeans lacked any news to push them off their existing values. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 5 cents lower at 409 to 427. Soybean bids were 1 to 3 cents lower at 1247 and 1279. In the central part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady 404 to 429. Soybean bids were 2 to 7 cents lower at 1275 to 1296. Now, in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mixed. Corn was at 409.32. Soybean bids were 2 to 13 cents lower at 1282 to 1313. And wheat bids 2 to 10 cents higher at 555 to 594. And let's try those corn bids one more time. They range from 409 to 432. Now, the Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were mixed at 1292 to 1311. The basis was steady to 5 cents higher at 625, at 6 to 25 over the March. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 463.60 to 473.60 per ton, with the basis unchanged at 35 to 45 over the March. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were steady at 432 to 440, with the basis steady at option to 8 over the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids steady to 2 cents lower at 422 to 433, basis steady to 2 cents lower at 10 under to 1 over the March. Soybeans ended 2 to 4 cents lower at 1280 to 1292, with the basis steady to 2 cents lower at 6 under to 6 over the March. New crop wheat prices were 1 to 2 cents higher at 552 to 562, with the basis steady at 1 higher, 25 to 15 under the March. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids at 450 to 452, these elevators lowered their soybean prices 2 to 12 cents with quotations of 1316 to 1326. Soft wheat closed 2 cents higher at 591 to 602, and Milo ended the day steady at 482 to 487. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. Starting in the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 411 to 423, and soybeans were 1063 to 1080. In the central part of the state, corn ranged from 409 to 426, and soybeans 1067 to 1094. Now in southern Illinois, corn ranged from 409 to 431, and soybeans from 1070 to 1111. Wheat bids ranged from 537 up to 562. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle were 142.55, down 60 cents. April live cattle, 140.35, down 20 cents. June live cattle, 131.80, down 25 cents. January feeder cattle were 171.42, up 45 cents. March feeder cattle, 168.37, down 42 cents. April feeder cattle, 168.90, down 50 cents. February lean hogs were 85.27, down 30 cents. April lean hogs, 93.57, down 72 cents. May lean hogs, 101, up 15 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 28th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 20 cents higher in the range of 74 to 80.50, with the weighted average carcass price of 77.47. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady to a dollar higher with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds are 42 to 48, 4 to 5 weights 43 to 54, 5 to 550 weights 50 to 56, and 550 and up were 53 to 57. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging in price from $50 to $56. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 9,236. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 148, and heifers on a live basis also at 148, and on a dress basis 235. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 379 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $90.09, and that was 32 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $235.80, and that was $224 lower, with select carcasses at $233.67, and that was $3.39 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 113,000. That compared to 119,000 last week and 123,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 407,000. That compared to 430,000 last week and 415,000 a year ago. Now to Arthur for the weekly hay auction. Compared to last week, small squares of alfalfa and alfalfa mixed hay traded mostly $2 higher, and they had receipts of 861 bales, starting with the alfalfa premium quality small squares. They were $8.50 a bale. Alfalfa orchard grass, good quality small squares, $5.25. Alfalfa mixed grass, good quality large squares, $35 to $51. And mixed grass, good quality small squares, $3 to $4. Corn stalks, fair quality, large squares, $27. And wheat straw, good quality small squares, $3.50 to $3.75. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. January and February corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.32. January and February corn delivered to Scottville, $4.23. January and February beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $12.95. And January wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.66. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $4.32. Corn at Scottville is $4.23, beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $12.95, and wheat at Scottville is $5.66. Farm Bill negotiators have announced a bipartisan, bicameral agreement on a five-year farm bill titled the Agricultural Act of 2014. According to a press release, the bill contains major reforms, including eliminating the direct payment program, streamlining and consolidating numerous programs to improve their effectiveness and reduce duplication, and cutting down on program misuse. The press release states the bill also strengthens the nation's commitment to support farmers and ranchers affected by natural disasters or significant economic losses and renews a national commitment to protect land, water, and other natural resources. The agreement could be voted on by the House this week. Based on statements made by House Speaker John Boehner and House Majority Leader Eric Cantor on Monday, it appears they will pressure members to vote for the farm bill. Both leaders expressed a level of disappointment with the lack of reforms to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, but Boehner said the legislation is worthy of the House's support. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow suggested the Senate could vote as early as next week. According to the negotiators, the Agricultural Act of 2014 would repeal the direct payment program and strengthen risk management tools, repeal outdated programs and consolidate duplicative ones, eliminating nearly 100 programs or authorizations, help farmers and ranchers create jobs, and provide certainty for the 16 million Americans working in the agriculture sector, strengthen conservation efforts to protect land, water, and wildlife for future generations, maintain food assistance for families while addressing fraud and misuse in SNAP, reduce the deficit by billions of dollars in mandatory spending. Program cuts total $33 billion, but $10 billion is plowed back into other programs, leaving savings in the bill at around $23 billion over 10 years. This meets the original goal House and Senate Ag Committee leaders set out in the fall of 2011. Cuts for farm programs total $19 billion by ending direct payments and reducing Title I farm subsidy programs. Cuts from conservation programs total $6 billion by combining 23 programs into 13, increasing flexibility. Cuts in nutrition programs totaled $8 billion by requiring states to make at least a $20 a year payment for utility costs to trigger a higher food stamp payment, and by eliminating food stamps for lottery winners and tightening up on qualifications for college students who get them. Increases in the following programs total $10 billion: crop insurance, research, promoting exports, support for specialty crops, biomanufacturing, bioenergy, horticulture, and rural development. We're currently experiencing a propane shortage in the U.S., but what does that mean for farmers? First, we'll cover the several factors that have caused the current propane situation, according to American Farm Bureau Environment and Energy Policy Specialist Andrew Walmsley.
We had a pretty large harvest towards the end of last year that was relatively wet. It drew down some propane supplies. During the same time, there was what the propane industry is calling infrastructure realignments, where we've seen some pipelines out of service, along with some impacts to rail rerouting, too, for propane traveling by train. And then one of the other issues is propane exports are up quite a bit. Last year, we saw about 20% of total U.S. propane was exported, and this is up from just 5% in 2008.
Walmsley says relief from cold weather would be extremely helpful, especially for southern chicken growers.
Keeping those birds warm are a concern, and we see a blast of Arctic air just this week. So a little relief in the weather would be the most helpful.
There has been some relief on the regulatory side.
Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration has relieved some of the pressures on transporting propane in regards to hours of service, allowing drivers to work a little longer to make sure they can get deliveries out there.
Walmsley says livestock producers especially will be impacted without relief soon.
Be able to keep those houses warm both for our swine and our poultry that are out there. Obviously, first concern is folks being able to keep their homes heated, but if this was a long-term impact, it would definitely have a negative impact on agricultural production.
Walmsley said the most important thing is for consumers to stay in close contact with their propane supplier. I spoke with Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about what we're seeing in the grain markets for U.S. and South American crops this week.
Well, we're seeing the market just kind of try to sort out things. We've seen a little bit of reshuffling of the deck. We're seeing some good demand start to come from low prices for corn and for wheat on the global market. The U.S. is getting some of that business now. We're seeing strong demand for soybeans, where we have a big South American crop starting to hit the global market as well. So traders are trying to sort through, okay, are we going to have enough U.S. beans to get to the South American harvest? Or are they going to be able to ship it without logistics problems? And so it's been more of a focus on the fundamentals than what we've seen many times in the past. And traders are trying to sort out how much involvement do they want to have in the commodity sector during 2014.
And that is something to note with the South American crop. They may be able to produce a lot, but the shipping and getting it out could be a problem.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exporters are scheduled to load out over 90 million bushels of soybeans in February in Brazil. That would be a record for the month of February. Question is, can they do it? Can they go ahead and get the soybeans to the ports and through the ports, loaded onto ships, and get them out without the congestion that has slowed shipments in the past? And I think some of the extremely large shipments that we've made to China in recent days and weeks is simply China not wanting to take the risk on Brazil. So it's probably extending our export season a little bit longer than what it would have in the past, as trying to hedge its risk a little bit against problems in Brazil.
And even if the crop in South America for soybeans is large and they are able to get it shipped where it needs to go without much problems, will there still be a need for the U.S. to have a large soybean crop?
Yeah, that's the question the trade's trying to decide right now. We saw some new weakness coming to the November contract in recent days because traders are starting to become increasingly comfortable with the South American crop, reducing the need to buy acres for this coming year. And that does not bode well for December corn either, because corn, frankly, needs to lose some acres. Overall, I think the trade's habit of late is to overestimate how much South America will be able to save the day, underestimating just the growth in global demand. So the trade will assume that South America's crop will reduce our need to have a big crop. In the end, I think the demand for soybeans and protein is going to continue to surprise the trade, but that may not be for 6 to 9 months down the road. For now, I think they're going to assume that once South America's crop hits the global market, that that's the end of it for us. It's interesting to note that the latest data that came available showed that U.S. soy meal exports hit record levels in the week ending January 16th as Argentina continues to have problems with its government and its policies and the crumbling of its currency, the peso. And so farmers are hanging on to soybeans there. Argentina is the number one soy meal and soy oil exporter in the world. The farmers simply aren't selling soybeans because they would rather have soybeans in the bin than have a peso in the bank with 25% inflation there. So countries are having to come to the United States to get their soy meal, and that's boosting our crush margins and extending our demand probably beyond what we have. So I think we're looking at most likely imports in the last half of the marketing year.
That really is an interesting dynamic when you would rather have the soybeans on your farm than sell them for pesos.
Well, exactly right, particularly when those soybeans are losing value as Brazil's crop hits on a world market. But when their peso is dropping value like a rock in a pond, it's still the better deal for them. In fact, they've been doing some trading based on, you could buy a truck with bags of soybeans at this point. It's becoming a currency of use.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions highlighting the global demand of soybeans. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.